with us tonight. Brother Jimbo, you come ahead and share your heart with the church. We're glad you're here. And y'all pray for him as he preaches tonight.
Amen. Amen. I want to make sure I had that right. We don't have that kind of technology in East Tennessee yet. We're still paying to get our football players out of jail. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity to come today. I appreciate the kindness of your pastor and the service this morning. I just appreciate God. As undeserving as we are, He chooses to come by, as the young man just sung, and meet with us. And He don't have to, but I'm glad that He still does. I want to look in Genesis chapter 19, if you'll find your place there in the Scripture. I thank the Lord for looking over my family these last days. I've been gone now for about 7 or 8 days. Last night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, my wife called and said that the law was there. A dope addict had pulled up at the end of our driveway out there and turned his lights off, and he had got out of the vehicle. And my oldest boy, Zeke, he's 14. He's got a 300 Magnum. He had it loaded with ballistic tips. And Bubba, my boy Bubba, he's got a Mossberg, and he took the choke out and put the 3.5-inch Magnums in there. And I was really praying for the dope addict. I said, boys, shoot at his knees. Don't kill the man. You don't want to have that on your conscience. But my wife stayed up all night, and she saw I tried to pray for her. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity just to be a part in the ministry. And everybody has their part. I know these are familiar passages, and I know the caliber of your preacher and the preacher he's had preached to you. For the sake of time, we won't look at all of the text, but there's something that the Lord has burned into my heart that I've never seen. I've only been saved about 19 years. You may have already seen this truth. I pray that you'll rejoice and respect it with me. I don't know in these years of preaching that I've ever felt the heaviness for a message from God's Word. Maybe one other time that God burned a message in my heart from His Word to be able to carry. And this is the message of the hour, not because I'm preaching it, but because of the day that we're living in. And I almost fear, as being a pastor for 12 years, I almost fear revealing the light of the Scripture to you. Because if you're enlightened to this truth, you're going to be required of that truth. And I pray that the Lord will trust Him with it and commit it to Him. But I take it for granted that you know the story of Abraham and Lot. We won't go back and rehearse everything. But they did not split up in chapter 13 because they were at odds. Their herdsmen were at odds. And Lot had to make a financial decision. And he chose the well-watered plains. And that was a good choice, a good financial choice. I do not believe when he made that choice that he ended up going as far as he did. I've watched people over the years make choices, and I really don't believe that they intended on going as far as they did. But for the sake of time, we're going to pick up our reading. You know, chapter 19 is one of the most horrific chapters in the Bible. We know that the Lord's already said He's going to destroy the city, and Abraham's been interceding on the behalf of Lot, and they come down to Lot's house. These sodomites come down there, and they want to know those men angels. I've not found a lady angel yet in the Scripture. I haven't. But these men angels are there, and they're to get Lot and his family out, and we know these sodomites come, and they say that they want those men, that they would know them. And all of you that are of age understand what their intent was. And this is how far Lot got. He said in verse 7, and he said, I pray you, brethren. He called them brethren. Do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. how far. It took about a year and a half for my brother to show me, after I got saved, that Lot was even a righteous man. Lot, I believe Lot's with the Lord today, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But I'm telling this, how far you can get away from God when you're dwelling in the land of Sodom. I want to read in verse 12, watch down through here, and the men, these are the angels now, they said unto Lot, hast thou any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels of the Lord hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And those first four verses of verse 16, God burned in my heart. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. My Heavenly Father, help me to convey the burden that you placed in my heart to the heart of your people this evening. Help us to see the urgency of the hour. We pray for your blessing in these next few moments. In your precious name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. If you'll keep your Bibles open. Without trying to complicate, I'll just simplify verse number 12, that Lot was given a spoken word. Do you remember days in your Christian life when God would give you a word? You were reading the Word of God and God would speak to you, and maybe the whole congregation didn't receive it, but God drove it in your heart and God made it an issue with you, and it wasn't going to be happy at your house till that issue was settled. Well, that's what God's done with Lot. He got a spoken word. But notice, the men said unto Lot. They give this word, they direct this word to Lot. And then in verse number 13, they grace him with the seen will of God. It's not Lot, just get out, we don't know what's going to happen. But they said, Lot, get out, because we will destroy this place. And God said he was going to destroy it, and he is going to destroy it. But he's got to get them out, he's got to get his family out. In the latter part of verse number 13, he said, for the Lord, the Bible said, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. This wasn't the devil destroying it. It wasn't so much the world, but it was God judging sin. And I do not believe that we are awaiting the judgment of God as the United States of America. I believe we are under the judging hand of God. And I believe that because of God's bride, of Christ's bride, that He's withholding a lot of things that He's going to let loose on this world in days to come. But He had gave them a word. And in verse number 14, He attempted to act on that word, but it was to no avail. When He got that word, and it began to sink into my heart when I read it. The Bible said when he went out in verse 14, he spake unto his sons-in-law. I wonder why, I just wonder when I read the scripture, I wonder why he didn't go to his wife. He got a word from God. I wonder why he didn't go to his wife and say, honey, here's what God said to do. The judgment of God is on this place, and there's not any righteous to be found for mercy. We've got to get us and get the children and get them out. He doesn't go to his wife, but he goes to his sons-in-law and he goes to his daughters. There's a mix-up somehow in Lot's marriage and in his home. He doesn't, as
far as I can find out, the only leeway I can give for the knowledge of Lot's wife to know that there was anything even going on was in verse 17 when the Lord begins to bring them out and tell them that that judging is coming. But in verse 16, he said, and the Bible said, and while he lingered. That's four words there, four meaning the number of man. Now begin to ponder about lingering. And many people, even myself, I'm not preaching this at you, but I'm preaching it to you because God burned it in my heart about lingering. I could join a church and sit on a pew and back my pastor and live the rest of my life, keep my family in church, try to get a job and just do what would be pleasing unto my pastor and just linger. But I'm telling you, just a couple of weeks ago, God burned this in my heart. There's a high cost to lingering when you've got a word from God and you know what the will of God is and you don't have to doubt about it or talk to your preacher about it. God's already burned it in your heart. Yet for some reason, He lingered. That word linger, it means to be slow in leaving or quitting a place or an activity. I'll give you three reasons. I began to contemplate and pray over this passage and I'll give you three simple conclusions of His lingering that apply to every one of us. No doubt, first of all, it's got to be that He was contemplating His finances. That's what it all started about in chapter 13. And no doubt when the angels of the Lord said to get out, He looked back and remembered that place that He had there in the gate where He delegated authority and He delegated judgment. No doubt He was looking at the power and the prestige that He had there. Something caused Him to linger. No doubt the condemnation of His family. His own boys and girls, they laughed at Him when He said, He tried to tell them what the Lord had told Him. They said He seemed as one that mocked. I wonder how it's going to be this week when we go to the job. I work with two men. They're lost as lost can be. One said he used to be a deacon and a preacher. Another one's a cussing Cajun from Louisiana. And I work with them and try my best to be a light in front of them and do what I'm paid to do and try to do the work that the man that I work for expects of me. But I began to tell one of them, old Fred, he went to a Presbyterian Bible college years ago, got so mixed up in some of the messed up truths that people are trying to preserve out of that movement. And he got out of church, got his family out of church, but he's knowledgeable of the Bible. And I was telling him about this story. And every morning when I'd come on that job site, He'd say, "Hey Lot, how long are you going to linger? Hey Lot, how long are you going to linger?" I'm glad the lost world out there, I believe they can see in the child of God where we're lingering. We know what we ought to be doing. You say, "Well, preacher, the Lord's coming soon. I'll let someone else pick up the slack. I've carried my load these many years. Let this other generation carry it." There's a high cost. You know the story. There's a high cost that comes when we linger at the known will of God. We know that Lot turned out to be a complete failure. And he was a complete failure because he lingered at the Word of God. Now watch this. I never have seen this. This shows my ignorance right here. But notice verse 17. "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, 'Escape for thy life.'" Here is the angel of the Lord talking. "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee." Now that's the only time I can give any leeway in the Scripture for maybe Lot's wife hearing anything about this. He went and told his daughters and his sons-in-law. Now the angel of the Lord's bringing them out. And he said, "Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain." He said, "Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." There was grace right in the middle of all of this mess. Lot had messed up his life. He had a family. He had daughters that had married sodomites. I mean, his family was messed up. But right in the midst of all that, God said, Lot, get to the mountain. Get to the mountain. Make the best you can out of what you got left. Strengthen the things that remain. I don't know how bad your situation is. I don't know how far it's got. I don't know how long you've lingered and it's took its toll. But I'm glad right in the midst of every bit of that, He said, get to the mountain. Look to the mountain. There's the grace of God right in the midst of all of this wicked and perverted sin. Lot would have never lost his daughters. He would have no doubt never lost his wife if he had went to the mountain like the Lord said. That's God's will, verse 17. Verse 22, you see Lot's will. Or look at verse 18, excuse me. Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Lord said, get to the mountain. Don't you know Lot could have called Abraham, texted him and said, Abraham, I've lost everything. Can you give me some sheep? Abraham loved Lot. He interceded for Lot. He prayed for Lot. They wasn't at odds. Their herdsmen were at odds. And don't you know, he said he could have, I mean, he's a businessman. He's well planned out in his thinking and all of that. He could have regained his finances. He could have kept his wife by his side. I'm going to tell you, there's some things more important than the almighty dollar bill. You can pile up money all over your bed and wallow in it all night. I'd rather have my children. I'd rather have my wife. I'd rather have peace with my God. He could have had all of that. No doubt you'll never get me to believe that God wouldn't have blessed him and put his hand back on him. But he said, Oh, not so, my Lord. How many times have a pastor and a preacher, as I've watched people, you've watched God speak to their heart, and they say, Oh, not so. Oh, not so. God's will in verse 17 escaped to the mountain. Lot's will. He said in verse number 19, Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Doubting the word of God. God said, You get up there, you'll live, you'll save your life. But Lot said, No, that won't work. You met anybody lately saying God's Word won't work? Like it was said this morning, you can't build a church. Evidently, you can build a church. I'd love to take a picture of this congregation on a Sunday night. You can take you can build a church on preaching and serving the Lord and singing the songs of Zion. God's will still works, and it's still right for everything that's wrong in our life. But He said, no. He said, I don't want to. I'm telling you, you can tell God no. Don't listen to this crowd that says you don't have a choice in this matter. Lot had a choice. That was his choice. God showed his will. He would have given him grace up in the mountains. But Lot, he showed his will in denying and rejecting. And he said, Oh, not so. Notice what he wanted to do. Verse 20, Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. God will let you have what you want. But there'll be times you won't want what you got. You say, Preacher, I want to marry that young man. I mean, his arms are built and he's strong. He's got that big smiley set of teeth. What are you going to do in 20 years when them teeth in a glass beside the bed? What are you going to do when that Coke bottle figure turns into a 2-liter? You better find out what the will of God is for your life. It's not love them. And if it don't work out, go down the road and get a $99 departure. It's for now and forever. Lot had the will of God. He knew what the will of God was. And God said, if that's what you want, I'll let you have it. He could have went to the mountain. Now let's just look at four things quickly that he lost. He lost the desires of his wealth. He lost every bit of it.
He's only mentioned a couple more times in the Bible, and it's always in a negative connotation. He lost his darling wife. I'm not going to crucify my wife for the church. God crucified His Son for the church. I'm not nailing my children to a cross. God already nailed His Son to a cross. Jesus, God does not want me to nail my Son. He don't want me to die for Him. He wants us to live for Him. There was a possibility He could have got with His wife. He was able to bear children because we know the rest of the story. My goodness, how wicked it gets at the end of this chapter. No doubt His wife could have borne Him more children. He could have built up His finances. He could have had all of that. He could have raised up them two young girls. He could have had a heritage that didn't have so much negativity about it. All the things He could have had. But He said, "Oh, not so, my Lord." The destiny of what He could have been. I mean, this man had so much potential. I've watched him over the years. So much potential. But, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Not Your will. Not that way, not the mountain. I'm going to go to this city." He wanted to stay as close as he could to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it's a little city in verse 20, and it's near. He wanted to be as much like he used to be and still live and serve God. I'm running into that crowd about everywhere I go. They still want to, they run on that fine line of the world. And they may not be listening to Hank and AC/DC anymore, but they're listening to something that sounds just like it if you'd take the words away. Christian rock, Christian country, Christian, all of this. Why do you want to walk that close to destruction when God's brought grace in your life and God's given you a spoken word and He showed you the will for your life? If he would escape to the... You'll never get me to believe any different. If he had escaped to the mountain, he'd have been in the will of God. He'd have been following the Word of God. He could have retained every bit of his money. He could have remained with his mate. He could have raised those young maidens. And he could have realized his Maker's wishes. But he didn't. He just lingered. Look at verse 26. The Lord gets them out. The Lord rains, verse 24, He rains on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Brother Ken, over the years I've heard preachers say that she loved that place, that she was a Mary Kay model there, and she was Tupperware queen of all of that, and she was on the board of education of Sodom. You know what she did? She did just what her husband did. He lingered. And now they're on their way out. And I really don't believe, you can correct me after the service, I'm still a young preacher in the Lord, but I really don't believe she fully understood all the ramifications of this. And I believe on the way out, she just stops and turns and looks. That's all it took. And God struck her. And she became a pillar of salt. He didn't listen. He just lingered. Now she becomes a fatality of his choice. A lot of times in the Old Testament, women aren't named. I remember several years ago, I was preaching on Mother's Day, studying for a Mother's Day message, and I was burdened about David, a man after God's own heart. And I began to search through Scripture, and I know David's daddy was named Jesse. But you never find David's mama her name. You only find the mention of her being, I could only find one time, and that was when they were in trouble and they fled to Moab. It said Jesse and David's mother, or Jesse and his wife.
Boy, I couldn't get a hold of that, and I couldn't get a grip of that. And I don't know if y'all know Brother Bob Daugherty. I got in touch with him, and without even flinching, Brother Bob said, a lot of the Old Testament women, they lost their identity in their husband. Husbands, you keep lingering, you may lose your wife. You say, preacher, it can't happen to me. If I could take you with me and let you see. I don't think Lot intended all of this to happen. But she turned. She became just like him. And for just a moment, she lingered. And the Bible said she became a pillar of salt. Did you ever wonder, did you ever try to scripturally answer why did she turn back? Well, being raised up under Abraham and living with Abraham, it was said this morning that Abraham, he never did drive his tent stakes down deep. He was always on the move. He was a pilgrim and a stranger. He was looking for a city built by... He was always on the move. And for the first time in her life, she had a home. I remember when I got married and we were renting, and this isn't anyone else, this is what my brother said to me. He said, your wife deserves a home. Even if it's just a four-room house that she can knock holes in the wall, put pictures up, paint it pink and purple and green if she wants. For the first time in her life, Lot's wife had a home. That place of shelter and security. And then again, I'm going to try to share this with you. She hadn't heard what God said to do. The only place we can find her hearing anything at all is in verse 17. In verse 13, verse 12 and 13 and 14, Lot goes to his daughters and his sons-in-law. He goes to his daughter and his sons-in-law, but in verse 15, God, when he gets them up in the morning, the angels hasten Lot saying, here's his, God's formula, arise. He don't say get your daughters. He said take thy wife and thy two daughters. I'm going to tell you, God burnt that in my soul a couple of weeks ago. There's a high price to lingering when you've got the Word of God and the will of God. She hadn't heard. His responsibility became his biggest regret. Half of him was gone when she became that pillar of salt. She had lost her home. She hadn't heard, but her husband's halting. She became just like him, acted just like him. God gave that word of grace in verse number 17. I'm glad where sin did abound, grace much more abound. Even in the Old Testament, Lot had messed up, made some bad choices, but all he had to do was turn, repent, however you want to describe it, and go to the mountain. He could have saved everything he had. Quickly, and I'm done. I'm driving back to Tennessee tonight. Come to the New Testament, Luke chapter 17. Jesus, in Luke 17, is talking to His disciples, His followers, giving them instructions on what it was going to be like right prior to His second coming. In verse 25, he said, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage under the day that Noe entered under the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, that's just everything else that's been said. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He didn't have a lot of big evangelistic meetings. Nobody really wanted to hear what he had to say, but he kept preaching and doing the work that God had called him to do. And he got his family in. You say, preacher, that's not big numbers. Well, that's something, an accomplishment I'd like to get. After I preach to others, I don't want to be a castaway. I want to walk into heaven with my wife and my children and my family and my loved ones. But Noah didn't have that great a ministry, but yet he was a preacher of righteousness. And Jesus said that there's going to be, this is like an atmosphere of the local church right prior to the Lord's coming. There's going to be some like Noah, them Philadelphian Christians in Revelation 3, still serving, still singing, still shouting. In spite of everybody's mocking and laughing, the rain's going to come. They're going to turn. They're going to start knocking. God's going to shut the door. I remember old Brother Edgar smacking that pulpit. God's going to shut that door and no man will open it. There's going to be an atmosphere of the church that's likened unto Noah in the last days. But right prior to Jesus' coming, there's going to be another church. Saved. They're going to heaven. But they're going to be living in the atmosphere of Lot. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And then out of all of that he said, you know where we're headed. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. We won't argue, disagree, but I believe Noah is with the Lord this evening. According to Peter's writings, and it took a while for me to swallow it, Lot is with the Lord. You do know what the remainder of chapter 19 happened. You do remember what happened. His two daughters got so messed up, raised in that place they were in. They said, we got to preserve the seed of our father. They went in and they slept with their own father. You've got Noah with the Lord. We've got Lot with the Lord. Where's Lot's wife? To me, she's a picture. And I don't have anybody's writings to back up what God burned into my heart. But I believe in typology, she is a picture of a church member of a Lot Baptist church. Just lingering. I love what your pastor's wanting to do about missions. That's not lingering. That's moving forward. That's taking it to the streets. But there's a lot that's just wanting to linger. You say, preacher, where do you think she's at? Well, let me give you these three proofs. She was faithful. She followed her husband out. She didn't have full knowledge. I don't believe she had full knowledge of what all was going on. But she was faithful. And then as I just said, she followed. But she fell because her identity was in Lot. And this is a compliment. You all, this is the first time I've ever got to be with you. You are a reflection of your pastor. In your worship, in your walk, in your mannerisms. And that's a good thing. That's a great responsibility for the man of God. But the Lord is saying, there's going to be church members that are going to reflect Lot. This lingering. Remember that old song? There's a lot of them old songs we don't sing anymore. But you remember when they used to sing that old song, "O careless soul, why do you linger?" I've watched people over the years linger, as this young lady did this morning. No doubt in her mind, she was lingering about the decision of salvation. She could have easily told the Holy Spirit this morning, "Oh, not so, my Lord." She could have easily just walked out the back door and said, "Oh, not so, my Lord." He's not going to knock her down and drag her back in. I've watched people linger in salvation. I've watched myself linger in service. Bitter. I was preaching up in
North Carolina first this year up near Asheville area, and I'd preach best I could and sat down and was getting ready to leave, and a young man came up to me, a young preacher boy, about 17 or 18, don't know his name to this day. He said, "Preacher, you know what your problem is?" I thought, "Well, son, get in line." He said, "You're bitter." And he said, "The one that you're bitter at is controlling your life." I thought, I ought to just hit him square in the mouth. Ask God to forgive me. But I said, "Thank you for your thoughts, son. Pray for me." And I began to drive down the road, and you know what? He was true. The person you're bitter at tonight, they're controlling you. They don't even have to say anything to you. You can be having a good week and all they got to do is walk through the same aisle at Walmart. Y'all got a Walmart down here, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. They don't have to call your name. They don't have to say nothing. They don't have to bring up a certain date or a time. All you got to do is see them. I've lingered in bitterness. Linger in salvation, lingering at service. And then lingering in surrender, total surrender. My last verse when I first got saved, started preaching right after I got, about 6 months later, started preaching. I met my wife 2 weeks after she was to be my wife. 2 weeks after I got saved, I met her in a man of God's home. She was dating a preacher at the time. Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said, "That's going to be your wife." I said, "God, you saved me, brought me out of sin, 28 years of sin. You set all of it up. I'll follow you. Thank you, Lord." 3 years later, we was married. But that verse, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." God's got to be first. He said, "All these other things, I'll add them to you in due time." You say, "Preacher, I'm glad God answers every prayer." Lot's prayer was, "Oh, not so, my Lord." And the Lord said, "Okay, Lot, I hear your prayer. And if that's what you'd like, that's what I'm going to let you have." Maybe someone's lingering. I hope this is just preventive maintenance, just an oil change before a blow up. I know what it is to linger. I know what it is just to want to sit on the pew back there and just blend in with the crowd. But if God's give you a word, if God's showed you that direction, if He's shown you what His will is, He will honor that. My Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd overshadow these next moments. Give this under-shepherd wisdom, Lord, if there's to be a furtherance of the invitation. He knows His flock. He knows Your flock that You've put Him over. I thank You for their kindness. And Lord, surely out of this great number of people, You've spoken to some in days gone by. They know Your will. And Lord, they're not running from it. They're not out in sin, but they're lingering. And God, as You burned in my heart a few weeks ago, I pray that You'd do it tonight. And we'll thank You for all that You do and do our best to give You the honor and glory. In Your name we pray.